Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. Final hour for us. Willie P filling in for Randy for the next couple of days. And Will, I got to say, from day to day, the improvement you made on your woos, that was noticeable. That was very good. Much very more big. Confidence. You said it with your chest, as Randy likes to put it. You wooed with your chest. It was good. A lot to get to here in the final hour. Like we said, Joe Patrick going to join us coming up at 1:20. As very interesting times for the Atlanta Braves are upon us. We're four games into a season. The Braves are 2-2. Some good things have happened. Some not so good things have happened. And Mike Foltynewicz has been DFA'd. So we'll get to that and what's trending. We'll also dig deeper into it with Joe Patrick and what exactly the Braves do from here. Like, it has been an eventful start to a season for an organization that, I don't know. We all have high hopes for us still for this season. But, man, nobody saw this coming so quickly. So we'll get to that. We'll get to an AMA at 1:40, as we always do. You can send us your questions either on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 or on Twitter at TBM929, at Willie P. Styles, at Wendy Radio, or at Brian_Gebhardt. Also, follow Wendy on Instagram, at Wendy Radio. Last time we mentioned it, she picked up some new followers. Follow Wendy on Instagram, at Wendy Radio. She's trying to get to 10,000. Also, Will, got to give you a shout-out. You just texted this to me. We knew about it before, but it is definitely something that is on our radar. There's a restaurant called Scalini's Italian Restaurant, and it's here in Smyrna. There's some people that probably know about the Scalini's legend. Maybe people don't. But it's a place that expecting mothers go if they're past their due date and order the eggplant parm, and it's been known to induce labor. And the track record is so strong that Scalini, I mean, they've written articles about this place, about that dish. They've got all the pictures on the wall up there of the mothers that have gone into labor because of the eggplant parm. We're not there yet. Like, we're still 2.5 weeks away from the due date, so we're good.
So but my mother's favorite food when she was pregnant with me was fettuccine Alfredo. So it must be something about Italian food.
It must be. And there's been plenty of Italian food consumed over here throughout the duration of the pregnancy. No doubt about it. But yeah, we get past the due date and we're feeling like it's time to maybe try to get this thing going. We'll go to Scalini's to get some eggplant parm and see if it can work its magic on Ashley and get the baby delivered. Anyway.
Be a heck of a test case.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's worked for so many other people. Maybe it'll work for us as well. All right, like we said, Joe Patrick 20 minutes away. Final hour of the show. Let's kick it off with what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
I mean, after the last, the couple outings and the early camp, and we wanted to give it a go here, and it doesn't look like it, it was the same. We didn't see enough increase in things and in the velocity. I mean, that's who he's been he's been a stuffed guy for the entire time that we've had him, and the stuff hasn't been there.
Yeah, that's Brian Snitker after the game last night, getting into pretty deep detail about the decision that was made about Mike Foltynewicz. I don't think anybody could have predicted that last night would be Mike Foltynewicz's last game as an Atlanta Brave, but it may be. It may end up being the last time he takes the mound for the Braves, and it wasn't good. He struggled with his velocity the same way that he did in the exhibition game against the Marlins. Now, nobody talked to Folty because, well, he was told that he was DFA'd in the middle of the game, and also the way that they're doing media availability right now is not usual. So we haven't heard from him yet. I assume at some point we probably will. But that's the deal. He didn't look good. He got rocked around. And there's a lot of different ways to look at it. There's the team that now has a real issue with its starting rotation, which we'll get to in a minute and talk to Joe Patrick about in about 20 minutes from now. There's the game last night that they lost and got blown out because Folty and Tukey were both bad. And then there's the guy. There's Mike Foltynewicz, who has been a pretty weird story over the last couple of years, from all-star to sent down last year to back up and great for 10 games to winning a playoff game to imploding in game five. And it's possible that the final two times we'll see Folty as a Brave were game five, where he gave up six earned runs in that 10-run first inning against the Cardinals, and last night where he gave up six earned runs against the Rays. And now you kind of shift to wondering what happens to him. I mean, designated for assignment means he's on waivers, means another team can pick him up. And I imagine someone will. I imagine there will be another team that takes a flyer on him because he's not that far removed from being a talented player, a talented pitcher in Major League Baseball. But it's worrisome. And, you know, you look at his velocity dip, you look at him physically and see how skinny he looks right now. I don't know. Maybe that's a diet that he's on. Maybe it's something else. But I feel bad for Folty. I think we all would have loved to have seen him do better than that. No one was rooting against him. But he's probably not on the team anymore.
Yeah, well, and the thing about it, Andy, is that, you know, if you look at his if his abilities over the course of the last couple of years, you just wonder whether or not he's able to regain some of that. And because of that, you know, I really do believe that what we saw from him down the stretch last season was still there. It's just a matter of getting back to that, and hopefully he finds the right situation where he could, you know, get another chance. Maybe it's with the Braves. Maybe he clears waivers and gets out right to Gwinnett and figures it out. But I just find it hard to believe that he hasn't pitched his last game for Atlanta.
Yeah, I agree. The thing that's also hard to reconcile is such a massive drop-off in velocity. You heard Snitker say it there. He's a stuff guy. That's what's always been the argument for Folty and for Luke Jackson as well. I mean, there are guys that just have live arms and could get people out that way. There's guys that are more crafty. There's guys that are more cerebral with their approach when they're on the mound. I don't think crafty would ever be a word that you would use to describe Mike Foltynewicz. So when the stuff suffers the way that it has, he's just not going to be effective. And he wasn't in that game against Miami last week. And then there was a lot of excuses. He wasn't yesterday. And now he's DFA'd. And look, I don't know how you lose 5 mile an hour off your fastball in two seasons, unless it's a physical problem. And, you know, I assume in the coming days, we'll find more out about what's going on with Folty, but I think, speak for everybody, just hope he's okay. You know, you hope for the best right for him, and you hope it can you hope it can work out for him, whether it's here or someplace else. Now, as for baseball, in a big picture standpoint, big news yesterday was what the Marlins were dealing with their positive COVID test. The Phillies and Yankees game was postponed last night, postponed again tonight. Here's Rob Manfred from yesterday talking about how this isn't going to derail the season.
No, there really wasn't. We talked about the situation. I think most of the owners realize that we built protocols anticipating that we would have positive tests at some point during the season, that the protocols were built in order to allow us to continue to play through those positives. And I think there was support for the notion that we believe that the protocols are adequate to keep our players safe.
Yeah. I mean, those are the right things to say from Rob Manfred yesterday on MLB Network. I don't know that they're true because they have had a rash of positive tests with the Miami Marlins. Four more today, by the way. Four more positives in the Marlins organization today. And, well, they just can't play baseball like that. I mean, if you have one or two positives or one or two guys that don't feel well, like the Braves had in their opening series, then you quarantine them and you replace them. You can't replace 17 players. I mean, I guess you could with a taxi squad,
right?
But I don't know that anyone's going to feel comfortable playing against you and trusting that the other guys on your roster are also healthy. And that's the thing that the Marlins did that I think everybody has the biggest problem with. They made the unilateral decision to deal with it, to go out there and play, knowing that they had positive tests, by having a text message conversation and saying we want to tough it out. Like, there shouldn't be any gray area in the baseball protocol where a team is allowed to do that, and yet there is, and that's why the failing falls on the shoulders of Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball, because what the Marlins did technically was within the guidelines of the protocol, of the 101-page protocol that they have medically. It said it's up to teams to decide what is and isn't safe for themselves. Well, that's not acceptable. And what the Marlins did put themselves and other teams in danger, and they're not going to get to play for a while.
I might be being entirely too fair to Rob Manfred here, but I will say this. The situation in baseball, I think, was always going to have to be some sort of day-to-day. I think that's fair. I think we're being fair by saying that. But I also believe that you have a scenario where guys are just not following protocols. And I think that's the part of it that I find somewhat discouraging. And we talked about it earlier, actionable consequences to things that involve stepping out of the way or stepping out of the safety protocols that were put in place. That's the part of it that I think we don't have the answer to, is that where's the accountability? That's my biggest problem right now with baseball. I don't think that anybody's really showing any.
So what do you think should happen? Because, I mean, that's the crux of it. I mean, we don't know that any Miami Marlin player did anything wrong in terms of contracting it. I mean, if Freddie Freeman said he did everything right and got it, there's a lot of weird ways to get it, you know? Like, somebody's family member could have come home and brought it home, and then they brought it into the clubhouse. What should they do? Like, what should have been done differently?
That's one I can't give you. That's the one I can't give you. And that's the other thing. We have to figure out, from the standpoint of the Marlins, you know, who was the initial, like, and again, we'll probably find out who was the initial contractor. Like, that's the thing about contract tracing that we really don't know yet, is, you know, how is it spread? How do people get it? Is it a situation where multiple people got it? Or was there somebody in the facility that had a false positive that spread it around, or a false negative, I should say, and spread it around? It's a lot of unknowns. And that's the unfortunate battle we're dealing with every day with this virus.
Yeah, the thing that should have never been allowed to happen was Marlins players deciding themselves, even though they've had positives, they were going to go out there. That it should have never gotten to that point. There needs to be a checks and balances part of that system that doesn't leave it up to the player, a medical third party, like we've said. And then if they withhold information or make a decision like that that's clearly dangerous, then they need to get in trouble. Again, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what they do. I don't know when the Marlins are going to be able to play again. The Phillies and Yankees game is canceled tonight. It sounds like the Nationals don't want to travel down to Miami to play against the Marlins. Wouldn't imagine Washington, D.C. as a city wants the Marlins to come up to play the Nationals there with all the positives that they have on their team right now. So there's really no way of knowing what happens next. And the Braves are playing the Rays tonight, and hopefully the Braves continue to have no positive tests on their roster. Hopefully the Rays have the same thing. The Phillies got tested after they played against the Marlins, and they've had no positives there. So that's good. But, you know, ideally it's a blip. We learn from it. We move on. It's a possibility that it's more than that. We'll find out in the coming days. Another thing that we're going to find out in the coming days, and something that we've been finding out today, is that there are NFL players that are going to opt out of this season. We've already seen six members of the New England Patriots do so, including Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung. We've seen Andre Smith opt out from the Baltimore Ravens, and I think 14 players in total. They've got until August 3rd to decide not to play. The players do, the guys that are going to opt out. With 14 already today on the day that they've been reporting, have to think that there'll be more. We talked to Jason Butt in the noon hour. He said out of 90 players that are on the Falcons roster, don't be shocked if two or three opt out. And we're not saying who, but don't be surprised if every team has to deal with this. We've already seen some teams having to deal with it today.
And Dan Quinn speaking with the media right now, to the Falcons media. He'll speak with our Dukes and Bell coming up today, actually, at 2 o'clock. I have to imagine, Andy, that's a question that'll be asked of Dan Quinn. I haven't seen anything on social media as of yet involving a positive or negative to that effect from the Falcons. But if they can escape any opt-outs, I guess is the most nice and kind way to say it. If they were able to not have any opt-outs, that's the most positive thing, I think, for them going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think the most positive thing for the NFL will be, and no offense to Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung, any of these guys, for like major marquee names not to opt out either.
Right.
You know, if it's a franchise quarterback decides not to play, that's a tough look. You know, a superstar wide receiver, whatever, like a name that you think of in association with an organization. We haven't seen any of those guys yet. Hopefully we don't. Now, the other thing we're dealing with this weird training camp and no preseason is the way that the football is going to look when they actually play. Here's Richard Sherman with his prediction.
This isn't going to be the prettiest football. It's not. I think this is going to be a year where you see some high interception numbers, some high injury numbers, obviously, you know. But I think without the preparation time and the difference in preparation, you know, the social distancing and the protocols and the circumstances that are kind of controlling everybody, you know, the league still doesn't know how practice is going to go, and we're about to head in.
Yeah, that's tough. Mm-hmm. there's a lot of questions yet to be answered. But I think of the rookies and the second year guys, the guys that are supposed to make that giant leap, and the rookies that have literally never played in the league before. Tough. It's a tough proposition to be able to come and be a professional with no real ramp up.
My biggest concern is that left guard position for the Falcons, the fact that it's been a rotating door and there's really no clear answer. Even if the clearest answer is Matt Hennessy, that's still my biggest concern right now.
Yeah, I mean, if your starting left guard has never even played a preseason game and he's starting on your offensive line, that's challenging. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to Joe Patrick coming up next. Smoke and Joe with a lot of Braves news. Some Atlanta United news as well. Don't go anywhere. Joe Patrick joins us next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you on a Tuesday. Willie P filling in for Randy. Willie going to be back tomorrow and Thursday as well. Then Randy, as brilliant as you would expect, back right in time for the four-hour happy hour on Friday.
Veteran move, like I said earlier.
Yeah, just a seasoned veteran, that Randy McMichael. 20 minutes away from the AMA, so get your questions in. Wendy also wants people to know that while you're following her on Instagram, at Wendy Radio, and she's picked up quite a few followers today, which is great, you can also ask AMA questions over there. If you want to slide into the DMs and ask an AMA question at Wendy Radio on Instagram, do that. Same rules apply. As always, don't be a creep. Wendy's a lady. Keep it above board. It's as simple as that. You can also ask me, Will, and Brian questions on Twitter or on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line at 404-741-0929. With all that said, there's so much to talk about. Let's get to Smoke and Joe.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smoke and Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe Patrick joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1:20. Joe covers the Braves and Atlanta United. So I'm going to start with a combo question, Joe, if that's okay with you.
Sure, let's go for it.
What surprised you more, the Braves DFAing Fulte yesterday or Atlanta United parting ways with Frank DeBoer on Friday?
The one that surprised me more was what happened with Fultonevich last night. I mean, that was just kind of a jarring thing to happen, because you don't normally see somebody who's DFA'd like this. Not only, obviously, it's shocking because he was an all-star in 2018, and so it's just crazy to see that kind of fall, but also just the manner in which it happened with him being told about the situation before the game was even over while he was in the clubhouse. It's just a very shocking situation for me. I think that the writing was kind of on the wall for Frank DeBoer with Atlanta United just because of the way the team was struggling so mightily and it didn't look like there was any turning it around. You just felt like with Fulte, you know, sometimes these pitchers can, something can happen, but they get it back. But clearly the Braves didn't really see that happening in the near future, so they went ahead and made that move.
Joe, do you feel there's a road back to the Braves with Fulte, or do you think he's thrown his last inning for them?
I really don't think there is, and I think that that message was sent in the manner of, in which he was DFA'd, like we were talking about. I think that if there was a path back for him, I think they would have tried to do anything they could to make that available. But I think that what they're seeing with Fulte now is a velocity drop of 5-6 miles per hour on his fastball. I mean, it was so jarring last night because we knew that he had pitched in that last preseason game against the Marlins and his velocity was down, and he had, you know, he said that it was because of the rain and the lack of rosin, that kind of thing. And so the first pitch of the game last night, 91 mile per hour fastball, that's kind of an eye opener because that's exactly where he was sitting in that game against the Marlins. And then the second pitch, he really reared back. You could tell he was giving it more, threw it wildly high, and it was only 93. And I think that that is really an eye opener. Like, okay, the velocity is really not there, and there's no clear sign that it's going to come back anytime soon. He looks thin, you know. He just doesn't. I think he's going to need to really kind of add some strength back on. That's going to take some time. And so I don't think the Braves, Brian Snicker said it last night, there's just not the time in a 60-game season to be able to manage the way his way around that.
And I'm speculating in sort of the math that I'm doing here. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing, but we're all paying close attention. You're covering this team every single day. Like when I listen to the way that Snitker and Anthopoulos talked about Fulte last week after his start and after his excuses, and just hearing the tone of sort of frustration with them, and then I see the way that they went about DFAing Fulte mid-game, and then the way that Snitker kind of talked about him after the game yesterday, like, do you get the sense that they're just sort of done with it? Like they're just sort of frustrated and I don't know, almost blaming Fulte for allowing it to get to this point?
It sounded to me, or my kind of takeaway from this was that they kind of knew that this was probably going to happen even before he even pitched. Like unless he did something that they really didn't foresee, which was for him to regain that velocity and look really good again, that they always had this in their mind because Brian Snicker said he is a guy who succeeds on his stuff. He's not kind of your veteran pitcher who's precise and can kind of be fine around the edges of the plate. He's a guy that really needs to get those swings and misses. And when his fastball is topping out at 91, 92 miles an hour, that's just not going to happen. And we've seen both the Rays and the Marlins just, you know, put tons of barrels on his pitches. So, you know, I think it's just a situation where they kind of knew what they were probably going to see last night, and it's exactly what they saw, so there was no real hesitation for them to just go ahead and make the move. And to be perfectly honest, Brian Snicker was also saying that this is no different than what they've been seeing all summer camp since they've returned. So I think that they probably kind of knew after that Marlins game that it was probably this was a place where things were going, and then the evidence that they saw against the Rays last night was just kind of the last thing they needed to see.
92.9 The Game, Braves insider, podcaster, and overall troublemaker, Joe Patrick, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. What would be a reasonable expectation, and how are your expectations for Kyle Wright tonight?
You know, I think that he's not going to be as stretched out as some of the other Braves starters that we've seen pitch so far. He did come in contact with a COVID-positive person during the hiatus, so he was kind of had to shut himself down for a couple weeks, and what I gather is that happened kind of towards the end of the hiatus, so he wasn't able to work as much as some of the other guys were able to go pitch at Campbell High School during the downtime. So I think that he's not going to be able to go as long as we've seen some of the Braves starters, but you know, I'm excited to see him. He says he feels really good. He's looked good to me from what I've seen from the summer camps. So you just want to see improvement with Kyle Wright. You want to see him throw strikes and look comfortable out there. I think sometimes last year when he was pitching at the major league level, he just looked a little bit overwhelmed mentally. Like he was just kind of, you know, still trying to get it together. But I think he's got the talent, you know, and he's a really kind of level-headed guy when we talk to him off the mound. So I just look for him to go out and just give you a solid start, give you a solid four innings and get out of there, and then just have something to build on that's positive. Because his last couple times he's come up to the big leagues, you know, he's pitched in the opening series last year against the Phillies. That didn't go well for him, and it's just hard to come back when you don't have that kind of positive experience to build off of. So hopefully he can get that going for him tonight.
Well, it's a golden opportunity, isn't it? Like, it's a lot of bad stuff that led to it, with Hamels still being hurt and Felix opting out and Folty getting DFA'd last night. But, like, Kyle Wright's got a chance to win a starting spot for the remainder of the season if he just does his job well. Like, I would have to think that if I'm Kyle Wright, I don't want to put too much pressure on yourself. You just want to go out and do well. But you look at this as, all right, like, now's my time. You'd have to think about it like that, wouldn't you?
Totally, because when he came up and pitched in that opening series against the Phillies last year, it wasn't because the Braves thought he was one of their top three starters, obviously.
Right.
It was because they needed him in a pinch because they had some injuries and stuff going on. So, yeah, I think that right now he should feel as comfortable as he's ever been when he's coming up to pitch at the major league level, because he's got that kind of comfort. And it's pretty crazy to imagine, Andy, I know we've talked about on the show, you know, when we were talking in the original spring training, we were talking about how there were like two starting pitchers that were going to be really good starting pitchers that got left out of the starting five. And now,
is this our fault? Like, did we do this? Did we jinx this?
I'll blame you guys.
We may have jinxed it, because now Kyle Wright's one of those guys who was originally on the outside looking in, despite him having a really good spring training.
Sure.
And now he, like you said, he's got a spot pretty much solid for him in the rotation. I don't see him losing it. And even if he doesn't have the greatest start tonight, I don't see Brian Snicker really having any other options to replace him with. So I think he's going to be a starter for the Braves throughout this entire season.
Yep.
Joe, I know that Andy and I aren't concerned, but when you look at the batting averages of Freeman, Albies, and Acuna, they're all 200 or worse. What's your level of concern for them?
I'm not that concerned. I think that's something we're seeing throughout the league right now, is a lot of strikeouts, a lot of hitters just being behind where the pitchers are right now. Obviously, the pitchers aren't as stretched out as they would be midseason, but it does seem like a lot of them have really good stuff. And I think it, from what I gather, it was easier for them to kind of get workouts in and do the things they needed to do to be ready at this point in the season during the hiatus than a lot of the hitters were able to do in terms of being able to see that kind of live pitching. So I'm not concerned as of yet. I think that these guys will get caught up. And I think that, honestly, they've just faced some really great starting pitching so far this season. When you look at, you know, Jacob deGrom, Brian Snicker was saying he was playing catch at 99 miles an hour. And then last night they were going up against a guy who was throwing 100 miles an hour with a nasty slider that was coming out right on the same plane. So I think they've just kind of it's been kind of a circumstantial thing. I'm not too worried about those guys as of right now.
Joe Patrick joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking Braves and Atlanta United as he does on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1:20. Do want to get another United question in there for you, Joe? Frank DeBoer is out. It was surprising to many of us that happened on Friday. Atlanta United now has an interim manager. How quickly does this process get taken care of? The next time Atlanta United plays a game, do they have a new manager, or is it Stephen Glass?
No, I think it'll be Stephen Glass. I think Atlanta United will be really patient with this coaching search. Obviously, it's a super important hire after what has happened under Frank DeBoer's tenure, which hasn't been all bad, but clearly the team is kind of picking up the pieces as it is right now. So they really need to make sure they have a really good hire that comes in. And to be honest, when you look at the schedule right now, there isn't one. There's not a game scheduled. So we don't even know what the rest of this calendar year looks like for Atlanta United. So I think that it's honestly a perfect time to have an interim manager like a Stephen Glass to come in and take over this team. Glass is a guy that I've talked to quite a bit over the last couple years. He's a guy that will motivate this team. He is familiar with these players. He has helped out with first team training from time to time when he's hasn't had things to do with the twos. So he does have a rapport with some of these players, and he's a former Premier League player. He's got the bona fides to back it up. So I think that you're going to see a team that is a little bit simpler on the field in terms of what they're trying to do, and I think they'll be well motivated to play for him and show their best whenever they're able to get back out there.
So you know somebody knows him when they call him Glassy, because that's what Mike Conti called him too. So we know you're legit, Joe. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you Thursday. Hopefully nothing crazy happens between now and then.
Fingers crossed, guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
No kidding. Joe Patrick with great info and insight on the Fulte situation and Atlanta United as well. We'll come back. We'll get to an AMA to wrap things up. Any question, any topic, Willie P in for Randy. Ask some Willie P specific questions. He ate some Magic City wings last night. He can give you a review. Or for any of the rest of us, we will answer any question that you ask us coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
92.9 The Game. We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. We wrap the show up every single day on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with the Ask Me Anything segment. AMA, any question, any topic, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line or on Twitter, at TBM929, at Willie P. Styles, at Wendy Radio, or at Brian_Gebhardt. I do want to mention just a couple quick things before we jump into this. One of them is a tweet from Ken Rosenthal,
yep,
which is troubling. Here's one scenario under discussion, according to sources with knowledge of Major League Baseball's thought process. The Marlins and Phillies would quarantine for an undetermined period. The Yankees would travel to Baltimore and play the Orioles tomorrow and Thursday. The Marlins and Phillies would then try to make up those postponed games later. So all of that translates to flying by the seat of their pants. Mm-hmm. I guess they didn't anticipate that people might test positive for COVID
right
at any point.
Joel Sherman actually has the Marlins not playing until Monday to give them time to regroup and prepare their roster. The hope with regional games and repeat and the same opponents that they could make up much of the 60-game schedule and off-day pay with doubleheaders. But, yeah, again, it just seems like there's a shocking amount of lack of preparedness from baseball in this perspective.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. Like, people were going to test positive. It was possible that teams were going to have to miss games, and you didn't have a plan in place for it. And you had so much time to get a plan in place for it, and you were too busy worrying about percentages of money that you could save. It sucks. I hope that everything works out, but it sucks. And that's what gets to one of our questions from Cody. Are you 100% invested emotionally in sports, knowing that they could get canceled at any time?
Yes, I am, because it's what we do and it's what we love to do. And, you know, I'm generally an optimistic person. I know that I've probably been a little bit more harsh on Rob Manfred, but again, it's because it's what we want. It's why we, you know, why we do what we do. We want to watch sports. We want to enjoy sports. And right now, I feel like he is a deterrent from enjoying the sports right now, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, here's the thing about being a sports fan, which is what we are. You get 100% invested in stuff every single year, knowing full well that it's probably going to break your heart. Like, that's what happens. You know what I mean? Like, every year you've rooted for a team, except for one or two, if you're lucky, it's ended in heartbreak because they didn't win a championship. Like, being a sports fan is investing yourself in something fully without knowing what the outcome is going to be. And in fact, anticipating that the outcome probably isn't going to be what you hope for. Now, this is different because it could just mean sports going away, but what's the worst that could happen? Okay, you get 100% invested in the Braves this season, and then for some horrible reason, they have to cancel the year. Well, they already did that. That already happened back in March. So we're familiar with sports being canceled. I don't know. I never understand the idea of hedging your bets as a sports fan. Go all in. Know you're probably going to get your heart broken. And then deal with your heart being broken when it happens. There's no in the middle.
Stating the obvious for those of us, again, who are listening, who are Atlanta fans, you, as an Atlanta sports fan, should be conditioned for a life of disappointment anyway. No?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's gonna,
we know how to handle this.
Every year ends terrible. Maybe it's better if this one doesn't even end. Then it won't at least end in heartbreak. Like, come on. We're used to this. Sports break us. That's what they do. What are the condiments you put on your hot dog? Did we answer that one yesterday?
I don't believe so.
We have a hot dog question. Maybe that was last week. I like sauerkraut and I like a good spicy mustard. That's what I like on my hot dog.
That's the exact answer. I love sauerkraut. Our family, since we're Ukrainian, we make a Ukrainian sauerkraut with sauteed onions and bacon, and you drain the sauerkraut. You make it not sour, and you put that on top of a little spicy mustard. That's the quintessential hot dog.
What do you do to the sauerkraut?
You drain the sauerkraut. Basically, you take all the sauerkraut out of it. So basically, all you're left with is cabbage.
It's just like the pickled cabbage, basically.
Yeah, basically. I guess it's deep pickling the cabbage, if you will. And then you saute it up with some bacon and onions. Leave it covered for an hour. Add some paprika. It's marvelous.
That sounds really good. I like sauteed onions on hot dogs. I like bacon. I opt for turkey bacon, but that's more of a health decision than anything else.
Universally have never given it to a single person who hasn't liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. That sounds really good. Here's a question from Melissa about the NWSL and WNBA returning. That NWSL tournament is over. Should they be on TV more? Hell yeah, they should be on TV more.
Sure.
I'll say this about the Atlanta Dream and their first game back. Kennedy Carter, if you didn't watch them, they put up 105 points the other night, by the way. Kennedy Carter is a rookie out of Texas A&M. If you enjoy like the current style of basketball where there's a lot of ball handling and shooting threes from wherever they want, Kennedy Carter is for you. She is the basketball player for you. She's like the Atlanta Dream version of Trae Young. She was a lot of fun to watch in the opening game. Get on board. She's awesome.
I talked with Nikki Collin very early in the pandemic on a Zoom interview that ended up on 929thegame.com about just how they're dealing with the pandemic, or how they were, at least initially. Very, very impressed with her and her vision, and I'm happy to see positive results for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Willie P., this one's for you. How are the Yams at Magic City?
I wouldn't know because I didn't go. I'm sorry. I
now,
wish.
If Lou Williams had just done what you did and ordered Magic City wings from Grubhub, then he wouldn't have been in the mess in the first place.
Right? Because there wouldn't have been a snitch.
Yeah, then there would be no one to snitch on him. All right. Best wings at Magic City. I don't know. I mean, I've only had the lemon pepper ones there. My go-to wings, by the way, and I always say this, Old Dad, get the Old Dad's wing sauce.
I do have to go up and get some of those.
Go up there to Dawsonville from the wing wagon, or take the wing sauce to your house and put them on the wings that you make. Old Dad's wing sauce is my favorite.
I have to go try some of those. I'm a traditionalist. I love buffalo sauce. I'm not a big lemon pepper guy. I do like the garlicky butter, or like the spicy garlic. Big fan of that. Yeah. But those are really the only two I usually go with.
All right, let's throw it over to Brian and Wendy for some text line questions.
If you had to pick, what food item would you leave the NBA bubble to go enjoy?
Like really good pizza. Really good pizza.
Like, yeah, if all they had in the bubble was like, you know, chain restaurant tacos, I would be willing to go out and venture to get some good street tacos. Because, I mean, you're in Florida. You're probably going to be able to find a taco truck somewhere that's going to make you some good stuff. I'm willing to go the extra mile for good tacos. Because like mediocre tacos are so frustrating.
Yeah, a non-chain, home-style pizza joint, greasy cheese pizza, basically.
Yeah,
like New York style
the way
pizza.
You're feeling and talking about pizza is exactly how I feel about tacos.
Very much.
Sticking with food and wings, if Magic City were to name a wing flavor after you, what would you want it to be called?
Willie P's Wild Buffalo.
That's pretty good. I would just call it naked. Just Bunky Pants is naked. Because I like my wings naked anyway. I mean, I like to apply my own sauces. But yeah, the Bunky Pants naked wing. Yeah, Bunky Pantsless. There you go. Bunky Pantsless Naked Wings. That's exactly what they would call them. I don't think anyone would order them. It'd be the least popular item on the menu. They'd never sell any. They'd have to take that thing off the menu after a week. I do wonder. I have to think. And I know Magic City is popular anyway. I mean, they're not hurting for business. But I have to wonder if they've seen a spike in orders over the last couple of days.
I can tell you.
This has been amazing publicity.
I can tell you from the amount of time that my DoorDash driver spent waiting on the wings, I can tell you affirmatively, yes, they have seen a spike.
Yeah, good for them, man. Good. Local businesses. Shop local.
Has there ever been a better sponsor for a team than Kraken Rum becoming the official rum of the NHL's newest team, the Seattle Kraken?
Isn't Bumble the jersey sponsor for the Golden State Warriors?
They are, yeah, and that's a pretty good one. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's perfect. They're called the Kraken, and the rum is Kraken. I'm trying to, because you've got the jersey sponsorships on soccer teams, and usually, you know, it's like Vodafone. All right, so it's a phone company. Chevrolet, you know, so it's a TV. It doesn't really represent the team that much. But yeah,
AIA for Spurs. Yeah, we don't even know what the heck that is.
The name being the same as the team for the sponsorship, I think makes a lot of sense. The only issue I have, though, is, I mean, and again, I'm not trying to be a naysayer about the name. I know a lot of people like it. Like, if there wasn't a Kraken rum and there wasn't a movie that came out a few years ago with Release the Kraken, would they have named the team the Seattle Kraken?
Probably not.
Probably not, which is a bummer because Seattle's been around for a lot longer than those things. So maybe they should have picked a name that was actually representative of the city, but that's neither here nor there.
Look at you throwing shade toward the Seattle.
It doesn't have anything to do with the city. It's a good name and people like it, but it just, I don't know. I wanted them to be named after salmon, okay? The ever intimidating sockeye salmon, the Seattle sockeye. That would have been a lot more intimidating to me. Right. You want to get to takeaways? Let's do it.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right. We've gone 4 hours. I'm sure we've learned something. I've learned a couple things, but let's start with Wendy Adams and her takeaways of the day. Hey, Wendy.
Well, I learned that baby lilies has a normal head size, but Andy, you would make a weird looking lady.
I would. I'd be a really bad looking lady. I'm all stout. Like, ladies don't want to be ever, no woman has ever want to be called stout.
No.
You know?
No, that's definitely, that's not a compliment. If you want to make someone mad, say that.
I got a stocky body type. Like, women aren't trying to be called stocky. No. Which is why I hope, because we got the ultrasound yesterday, the final ultrasound, and the baby's head is in the 50th percentile, right in the middle. That's an Ashley thing, not an Andy thing. An Andy head is a 99th percentile head. Hopefully the rest of her physical features are womanly and not stockier, whatever the hell I am. What about you, Will?
The naked wings that you would be called, or would you call funky pantsless? And I hope that you don't have to go to Scalini's for the quote labor-inducing eggplant parmesan at some point next week.
I hope not too, but I really do like eggplant parmesan, so maybe we'll just get it.
It's
anyway.
Not for you, Andy. It's for your wife.
Well, then I'm going to get it because it can't induce me into labor anyway. I'm not pregnant. I learned today that Brian Gebhardt looks like a grown-up again. Got a haircut last night, looking professional. And Wendy says, don't do drugs. And that's an inside joke, but it's still important, and it's an important message. Don't do drugs, okay? What about you, Brian?
Yeah, baby Lily has an average-sized head, and that's good for everyone. Eggplant farm is very underrated, and according to Andy, you can fill an entire swimming pool with what he doesn't know.
A big one, too, like an Olympic-sized swimming pool. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Hump Day Wednesday. Hopefully, between now and then, nothing terrible happens. Dan Quinn is coming up next with Dukes and Bell, about 5 minutes from right now, so do not go anywhere. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Watch out now!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.